Number one, please.
Item number one is a resolution authorizing and directing the Employee Benefits Work Group to fully develop a graduated defined contribution pension plan to replace the existing defined pension benefit plan and to report back with a final plan for the implementation. The county board referred this item back after it had amended it, so the copy that you have in front of you is the amended version of this.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Supervisor Sanfilippo, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Up just a small fraction of information that I have put together and gathered over the last 2 or 2.5 years that I've been working on this. The idea has evolved quite differently from when I first proposed the resolution back in December of 2010. At that time, I had a very specifically,
thank you, designed plan on the way I wanted to see this look. And at that time, the savings were mounting up to over $300 million over the first 10 years, actually more than that. The $300 million figure would be the amount of savings right now, taking into consideration the Act 10 changes that we've incorporated. Buck Consultants did that report for us back in January of 2012. Basically, what it boils down to is after having many, many meetings and a lot of conferences with many of my colleagues, I realized that my plan was probably a little more aggressive than what other members were willing to look at. So it has drastically changed from the original plan that I had put forth. And if you look at the resolution before you today, it basically takes out the whole concept of what my original plan was to begin with and just says, let's study the idea. Let's have the Employee Benefits Work Group work on this thing, put together some options for us that we can look at to see if there's something that we can do to help save our plan and save some money in the long run, and also make the plan a little more beneficial not only for the taxpayers but for the county employees as well. There's been a lot of talk lately about the fact of employees right now under Act 10, they're forced to make payments into their pension plan. If we switch to a defined contribution, some of that could change, be made optional, so that younger employees starting out who maybe can't afford to be paying into the pension plan can put that off till later in their years when they can better afford it. But just a sampling, Washington, Oregon, Montana, North Dakota, Utah, Kansas, Nebraska, Michigan, Rhode Island, Alaska, Colorado, West Virginia, Ohio, Indiana, Florida, South Carolina, Georgia, and Washington, D.C. All of these states over the last 10, 15 years have changed their pensions from going purely defined benefit to either a defined contribution or a hybrid model of something of the other. General Motors, which is the largest pension plan in the world, is in the process right now of transforming because General Motors filed bankruptcy primarily because of their benefit costs. So what I'm suggesting is that we have the Employee Benefits Work Group take a look, see if there is a way to redesign the plan, to make the plan better, reform it, move it more into the modern times, and then bring it back to the board, and at that point we can decide if we want to make a change or not. But I think it's important that we at least look at it and give us some options. We've seen recently that looks like we're running a surplus this year in our budget. But that's, you know, I ran into Rob Henkin in the hallway yesterday, and we had a brief discussion, and he cautioned me, you know, now remember, that's just a one-year blip. You can't count on that for every single year. So when you take a look at that, we still have a structural deficit that we're going to be wrestling with. And if we don't start bringing down some of our structural costs, you know, we're going to end up cutting services or eliminating even further jobs than we have already because we're limited with where we can go with taxes. So if there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. Most of you have heard me talk about this before. This has been in front of us for the last 2 years that I've been working on it. I'm not a pension plan expert, but I have done an awful lot of reading, and I feel pretty confident I can at least answer some questions.
Supervisor Sanfilippo, and relatively simple terms for those who are new to this board, could you explain to them what it is what the defined contribution plan is as opposed to a defined benefit plan?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Basically, a defined contribution plan is similar to a 401k plan in the private sector. And what that says is the county would take a defined contribution amount and each year would put that money into a fund for the employee. The employee, individually, but in most cases, the employer hires somebody to manage that plan and invest that money for the employees. The employees can choose what investment types of investments they want to go in, but not necessarily the specific investments. And what it does is it takes the money and it puts it in the hands of the employee right away, so that if the employee were to choose to leave, for example, county employment, you would take that money and go with it. It would follow you to your next job. That's one advantage that defined contribution plans have, is they're portable, so you can take them from job to job to job. Most defined contribution plans, you invest in them right away. Again, that would be something that the specific terms would be put together by the employee benefits work group. With a defined benefit plan, the defined benefit plan says that the county wouldn't put the money in a set amount every single year, but upon retirement, you're guaranteed this defined benefit from the day you retire and start collecting till the day you would leave the plan, which would be by death, or would move on to one of your spouses. And so what it does is it causes more of a financial hardship on the county, because in the old days when the defined benefit plans were popular, you had large workforces, and so you had a lot of money going into the fund, and payments were relatively small. I mean, even in the county, if you take a look back just 10, 12 years ago, our annual contributions to the pension funds were, $1 million, $2 million, low amounts of money like that. This year, we're going to pay $90 million between the obligation bonds and our regular pension payments. So it has eaten a lot of money of our cash. And what that does then is it puts the pinch on all the other areas, so we end up with cutting employment or cutting programs and services. So the defined benefit, defined contribution, it shifts more of the future risk onto the employees, and it takes the employees and gives them more control over their money.
What about, Supervisor San Filippo, what about matches going into, as far as contributing to the plan? 401ks, do they not, most employers do make a contribution?
The employer puts in a contribution in most cases, and the way I would envision it here is the county would be putting in a contribution. The employees in a 401, in a defined contribution plan, are able to do a match, elect to do a match or not elect or to do a match. And again, I think that's important under the situation we are right now, is employees have no choice right now. You have to pay a portion of your pension under Act 10. Going to a defined contribution plan would make that optional for the employee. Some employees may want to take advantage of that. Some employees, may be in a position to be able to start saving right away for their pension.
Okay. Any questions of Supervisor Lipscomb, Alexander, and Schmidt?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I don't understand why you've changed tactics in that you're now asking the work group to devise a plan for you, when the work group isn't necessarily in a position to develop a plan that they don't necessarily support. Why would you move away from your initial move, which was to actually propose something? I mean, I guess it seems like it makes it more vague and doesn't really give us direction as to whether or not where you're really going is something that is just going to continue to erode benefits, or whether it would be cost neutral but more beneficial to employees, because they're going to, the replacement income will be higher. I think it's just filled with a lot of question, and I guess I'd like to understand why you've taken this new tact and why you wouldn't just do your legislative role and make a new proposal, if your last one didn't fly.
Sure. Let me go on record as saying I'd like nothing better than for the board to approve the plan the way I designed it, because I think it's a very good plan. But recognizing the fact that after 2 years of meetings and discussing this, and after conversations I've had one-on-one with several supervisors, I recognize that the plan the way I proposed it probably wouldn't pass, because it might be a little bit more conservative than what many members of this board are willing to look at. So in my mind, what's important here is not that my plan passes. I don't profess to be an expert on this, but I think what's important here is that we at least look at it. So I was willing to back down on my position and say, okay, if you don't like my plan exactly the way it is, let's at least look at something and see if there's something that we can put together and then that the board can wrap its hands around. So it's kind of a way of compromising. And again, in the end, you know, I think that if I were to take or continue the approach that, you know, it's my way or the highway, well, we wouldn't look at this at all, and the thing would fail and fall by the wayside. And I think it's something that in the long run is going to be beneficial not only to employees but also to the county, bearing in mind that we still have a structural deficit that we have to grapple with going on into the future. So I think it's important that we take a look at it by involving the employee benefits work group. You know, you mentioned they may not be in favor of it. I don't know necessarily that they are not in favor of it. I haven't had any conversations with them or anybody on that group that told me flat out they're not in favor of it. But what I would say is that by having them take a look at it, I think we'll get a little bit more of a well-rounded approach and let them come back to us, because they're going to work together with the actuary and put together something that that I think will probably be acceptable to a lot of the members of the board. And usually when they come back to us, our staff comes back to us, they're giving us options on both ends and the pros and the cons of each option, and then we can make the decision on that point.
Mr. Chair, I've opposed it in the past. I've sort of had an evolutionary position on this, in that as things have changed with our pension system, I've found this less and less valuable as an idea. And I guess I believe that we've kind of gone down that path far enough in terms of the exploration of this that I think there's enough information here that anyone could put together a proposal. And I have some reservation about the way that we've been using the employee benefits work group, and that this just continues to go in that direction. I think the directive goes beyond the scope of the work group, and that in many ways I think the work group has outlived its intended purpose, but this is definitely outside of the scope of its intended purpose. I think if the author is interested in a compromise plan, that's the legislative duty to work with colleagues to develop one that might gain broader support. But I don't think that that's the work group's duty, and I don't think we should continue to spend resources on it.
Okay. Thank you, Supervisor Lipscomb. Supervisor Alexander and Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to ask for clarification or confirmation of my understanding that if the proposed type of defined contribution pension plan were to become part of Milwaukee County's pension plans, does that mean that employees could opt in or opt out as they saw fit on contributing, or when hired, if they chose not to participate at all? Say, for example, if an employee has their own retirement savings outside of employment, that they could opt out?
You have a lot of different options that you can do with a defined contribution plan. And I think one way for us, and one reason why I think we do involve the employee benefits work group, is because, you know, it's a complex issue. And just to make a decision on our own, thinking that we have all the answers, I don't think each and every one of us fully understands how making one move affects many different things. And so, again, I think that's something for the staff, employee benefits work group, and our staff to put together an idea to bring those things to the forefront, to tell us, okay, we're going to have, for example, we still would have to operate our defined benefit pension plan. That would stay in place. Now, whether that continues on for existing employees or whether it ends completely for everybody, We don't know. There's ramifications. For example, if we were to continue it on for existing employees, for the first 5 years, we actually would have to pay more of a contribution into the pension plan in order to get the life of the plan to work out on an actuarial basis. So while we would achieve savings, it would cost us more money in the initial 5 years. And that's why I say for every action, there's a reaction. And I think this goes a little bit beyond, you know, our capabilities as legislators to be able to take on this task by ourselves. We need the experts. I mean, that's why we hire Buck consultants to do all these reports for us. We need the experts to come to us and be able to say, okay, this is what you can do, and this is the effect that it's going to have. And then at that point, we work together to cobble a plan that we can all wrap our hands around and go forward. You know, another way to change it is you could do some type of enhancements or incentives for current employees to leave the defined benefit and go into a defined contribution plan. I think, if I remember right, what General Motors was doing was offering a buyout on their defined benefit plan, which was taking a certain amount of cents on the dollar and saying, okay, instead of us paying you forever, we're going to give you this lump sum now, and that ends our long-term liability. So there's a lot of different things that can be done that would require us to, you know, it's a complex issue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you. We've talked about this a long time, and let me go backwards a little bit. When you go to the work group, the work group's been really beneficial to us as a county board over the years, very beneficial. We needed them to look into, I mean, look at the terrific changes. You know, we talk about look at the structural debt. You know, we have the last three budgets for two different county executives have been very significant in cuts to employees. And, you know, I voted for those, and we accepted those. And when you look at how much more we pay for insurance, we now pay for pensions, okay, the pension multiplier is 2 to 1.6. Those are very significant savings in the long term, short and long range. And not to make an excuse, but I think that's what we've had. If you go back a little more than 3 years, the work group, you know, we went to a position of being self-insured, which saved us tens of millions of dollars that came from the work group. So, I really think the work group needs to stay. It's been a very valuable asset to us, and it saved this county, if you look long-term, over just health insurance. In 10 years, it'd be $100 million. That's documented. You can go to Jerry Hare to talk about that. I'm not making those figures up. That's been documented and talked about in our previous meeting. So we've taken some significant steps. What I'm saying is that it's taken priority over thinking the real big picture, which is, you know, a change in the benefit plan here, which is a major, major change. It's been so long. Now, other states have looked at it. I wonder if other states have looked and taken the cuts that all our employees and us as supervisors have taken over the last 3-4 years. There have been very significant changes to employees. So I think that's where, you know, kind of the BAP comes up and says, wow, haven't we taken enough here? I mean, you know, look at all the changes we made. Have we made significant savings in our plans? And the answer to all this is yes. Yes, we've taken some very significant steps, and we had to make sacrifices to ourselves and our employees. So I think the county executives have put forward those plans, and I think the two branches have to work together on this. It's bigger than just an into-a work group because it's long-term budgeting. And, I don't want to see this die. I've looked at things and said what the outcomes would be a lot of times. You know, you say, well, we have on the county grounds, you have developers and preservation that say, well, 5 years down the road, we'll compromise and get something done. And that's usually what happens, by the way. But it never gets there to start with because there are passions on both sides, as you well know, and the political atmosphere, too, the passions there, okay? And so we're running into those passions in this issue here. Practical economics does come into play. I think we will get to a situation, but, you know, work group, again, priorities. Now, we're talking about that drop, okay? That's a huge issue. I think there's real savings to potentially being there in fairness, too, because we overextended there, you know, that long scenario. The work group's going to have to look at that. The executive's going to have to look at that. Is that a priority over what you're talking about right now? Probably. Okay? So it's been kind of pushed in the background, but these other issues have been very important. So I don't think you should feel bad and say, oh, nothing's happened, we haven't taken any steps to improve our bottom. We certainly have in the last 4 years. We should document that and get that out, by the way. Okay, with significant savings because of our employees and ourselves, what we've done. And the structural deficit is basically helped the 2 to 1.6 is very significant going into the future also as far as the pension is concerned. And what we put in for the pension now, we have $100 million our liability just in 1 year, have taken off our liability because of what we've done. So I think people don't see the urgent need now to stack something else on top of us because of what's all happened the last 3 or 4 years. I think that's a big part of it. And I think realistically it's a point to make. And I think the answer is going to be we are going to have a hybrid. But I think that's a couple years down the road, to be real honest with you. But I think that's the way it works. These kind of changes can't be made overnight. You know that already. But in all so many issues we've had, I mean, it just takes time. It isn't, you can't snap your fingers. And you have said to yourself, and we can ask different questions, say, well, that's possible. Well, yeah, we could do that. We could opt it. Well, that's the problem with all this. There's just so many, moving parts here. So at some juncture, maybe after you finish this next major thing I mentioned, then I think we can ask. But the executive has to be involved here, too, because this is a major government policy change. And previous county executives have put these kind of changes I've talked about in their budgets. And we've talked about them and worked them out and agreed and worked on this together. I think this is where this is going to go, too. So, but it's just not going to happen very quick or as quickly, maybe, as you personally would like to see. That's the reality. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor.
If I can just make a comment on that.
Go ahead, Supervisor.
I agree this is a major change, which is why I think it's important to continue building on the work we've done so far. We spent a lot of time on this so far. It's evolved quite a bit from where it had first started. But even if you envision something happening 4 to 5 years down the road, we can't first start it then 4 or 5 years on down the road, because when you take this up from the start, it's going to take a long time to be able to get it passed. So that's why I think that it's important to continue on the work. And one last thing I did just want to point out is even pension plans that we feel are completely solid and very good, the state of Wisconsin plan is always gets ranked as one of the best as far as being properly funded in the country. But I have a report here that came out from the Wisconsin Reporter that is just indicating here that, it all depends on how you determine the plan. If you look at the plan based on an average of 8% return, the plan is fully funded. If you take a look at a more reasonable approach, which a lot of actuaries say, because it's a defined benefit plan, you shouldn't use high rate of return. You should take a look at T-bills, for example, which is more of a guaranteed rate. And if you do that, the Wisconsin plan ends up $70 billion underfunded. And so when you look at plans, the actuaries, the way they calculate them, the gist of the story is we don't always get the true picture of what our benefit plans are, because on the defined benefit plan, no matter what, the taxpayers or the county is on the hook to cover that. And so we tend to get an overly optimistic picture in some instances, and this article is saying that Wisconsin is one of them.
I would ask, what is the pleasure of the committee? Oh, Supervisor Mayo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One thing that you have to realize, my esteemed colleague is GM. GM is a private funding source. You will not be able, there's two different laws for public pension plan and private pension plan. You will not be able to buy out our employees. Second of all, he brought up was the state of Wisconsin. Remember one time there was a proposal for Milwaukee County to merge into the state of Wisconsin, and it was underfunded. And also they had a loss with the pension plan. They had a problem. If you don't bring this back to the pension work group, make sure that you have all the variables that you have to do. Because if you're going to go and do a hybrid, now let's make it very clear, it depends how that hybrid works. You can get sued, or you can stop and start a new one. You got to be fully funded and start your whole program over, because there's rights within this pension plan that people have. So when you look at these things, there's a number of variables that you and my esteemed colleagues stated about. But this is a very serious plan that you are undertaking, because you got to remember, people have rights, and the ones who are vested and long-term vested, they have a right for what they have put in it. If we was a private sector, yes, we can say we're going to give you a nickel and a dollar and go your merry way. But because we're a public plan, there are federal and state laws that you have to abide by. So remember that also when you do your deliberations And when it comes to the county board floor, then we have everyone have a chance. But you have the first kick at the cat. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Jurczyk, we do have two cards. We have two people who would like to come forward on this item. Supervisor Jurczyk.
Just to try to get this moving, I'll move approval. And one thing I would like the Employee Benefits Work Group to look at, if we're going to get this to them, is the issue of incentives for those employees who have had the benefit of taxpayer support during their careers. Some kind of an incentive if they do retire to remain in the state. That's something that has long worried me. 401ks are portable. Employees help pay for them. It's a much different issue. So that would just be one other issue I'd throw out there. But I'll move approval.
Thank you, Supervisor. I have cards from Jim Zivity, if you'd like to come forward, from Teamco, and I also have one from Penny Secor. Could you state your name, sir?
Jim Zivity. I am president of Technicians, Engineers, Architects of Milwaukee County, better known as Teamco. Mr. Chair, Supervisors, good morning. We are the bargaining association that represents the professional architectural and engineering staff at Milwaukee County. During the past 10 years, and particularly in the last four, our members have recognized and shared in the sacrifice needed to address the county's fiscal challenges. These sacrifices have included frozen base salary for the past 4 years, no merit step increases for the past 2 years, unpaid furlough days, greater sharing of the increasing costs of health care, as you all well know, a reduction in the pension multiplier, and most recently, the employee pension contribution that was instituted in 2012. An important note worth mentioning here is that all of the concessions that happened prior to 2012 were negotiated and agreed to through our bargaining agreements with Milwaukee County. We feel we are your partners in this these fiscal times. We understand that things are bad, things are challenging, and we wanted to do our part. But what I would ask you today is to consider, as you deliberate on further changes to any employee benefit in an effort to save costs, is the value that the employee, that the staff, brings to you and your constituency. To give you an example of the value that Teamco's membership brings, I offer you the following. We are the professional staff responsible to ensure capital and major maintenance projects are developed and administered properly and in accordance with all applicable design standards, codes, and regulations. We are responsible to ensure that the design and construction of county projects is accomplished in accordance with the needs and desires of the owner departments, and that their needs, concerns, and questions are addressed in a timely manner. We are the front line in making sure the county gets what it pays for in terms of its architectural and engineering consultants, construction managers, and construction contractors. Quite simply, we are your professional staff and are looking out for the best interests of Milwaukee County and no one else's. We have all dedicated our time and professional talents to public service for the betterment of the people of Milwaukee County. Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, this morning, my hope is that what I'm telling you here is not new, that you already are well aware of the value that we and other county professionals bring to the table. But my sincere hope is that in your consideration of changes to the compensation and benefit package, several of which are on your agenda today, that you remember this value. We are your partners in this. We are your staff. We're not your adversaries. With that, I thank you for your time and your consideration.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay. Thanks a lot. Thank you, sir.
Wonderful cutting product.
Okay. Penny Secor.
Good morning, Chairman, Supervisors. My name is Penny Secor, and I'm a staff representative with AFSCME District Council 48. And one of the things, and I totally agree with Steve, is that we are a partnership. And you do have agenda item number 19, that is to have a talk, a meet and confer, so that we can sit down and talk about these issues that are before you. This is something that is going to affect everyone. The pension study group met earlier this morning, and they have some things on their agenda that would change pension in other ways. There are things that are going to the actual pension board itself to make some changes. I would hope that when you vote on this that you would vote it down. And some of the things, the original resolution, I haven't read any amended resolutions except what was verbally talked about here today, but the resolution that's before you today, we would ask that you would defeat it, that you would say that this is an issue that needs to be addressed, but it needs to be addressed at the right time. First, we need to see how the savings that have been impacted, and they happened this year, how that is going to affect, what kind of savings are going to come out of that, just like we did with the health care. We take it, we make the changes, we assess it, we see what's done, and then if it has to be modified in any way. So I would hope at this time that you would vote this down. And I also think that you guys are in a very unique place, more than GM or anything else. And as we know, in 4 years ago, 401ks lost up to 40% of their value because of the economic crisis. You're a taxing entity, so all of those people that lost money may be coming back to you as a tax entity for food stamps, financial help, or things because they don't have the money in their retirement. And many people don't have the skills or the ability to manage their own money in a 401k. So I would hope that this resolution that's before you, that you would vote no on it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for both Mr. Zeeby and Ms. Secor, if they're both still available. Thank you. Have you both read the resolution?
Not the new one that was handed out this morning. I have the one that was in the agenda packet that says that about the graduated plan and the work group's going to do it. And to replace the existing benefit plan and to report back with the final plan for implementation. So basically the work group's going to do it all, and then it's just going to come to you. And we have not been involved as employees in any of these discussions with the work group. You haven't either, have you?
No, no way.
Unless I'm reading the wrong resolution, and I know there's been a long legislative history on this, looking at the last be it further resolved paragraph, it seems to say that after the research would be done, the plan would be included in contract negotiations with collective bargaining units, and that upon agreement by collective bargaining units, so if there were agreement, such a defined contribution plan would become effective for all non-represented employees and elected officials.
Right.
So I just wanted to point out that on its face, the position, if the resolution were approved, to have the work group do research doesn't seem to immediately affect represented employees.
Well, yes, it would, because it would actually, because every one of the contracts except the Deputy Sheriff's Association and the firefighters, they're still protected under Act 10. At
right.
some point, every contract is going to be gone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Supervisor, Mr. Chairman, Cullen.
So we have a motion, so we can move this along, and we just take the roll on the motion.
Madam Clerk, unless supervisors have any more comments, concerns, please call the roll on.
Motion is for approval.
Yes.
Supervisors Haas.
No.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Jerzyk.
Aye.
Lipscomb?
No.
Alexander?
Aye.
Stamper?
No.
Cullen?
No.
And Mr. Chair?
No.
Motion fails for approval on a vote of 3-2-5.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Item number